We'll stay on the topic, though, of football and the World Cup, and what has possibly been the best World Cup for many years has come to an end. I know, sad times for football lovers. Aside from the goals, the drama and the giant killings, one of the main talking points of Russia 2018 has been the video assistant referee, or VAR. Referee of yesterday's final between France and Croatia, I'm going to try and pronounce this man's name, the Argentinian Nestor Patina. I don't know, that could be wrong. He used VAR to determine that Ivan Perisic, apologies again if that's wrong, his handball was a penalty.
And here we are now in the World Cup final itself, and a big decision now has been referred to the video assistant referee. The Argentine ref, Nestor Pitana, is looking inside his little Perspex area at the screen, which is showing him the replays. And what is he going to do? He's walking. Oh, no, he's having another look. He walked away, and then he suddenly turned back to the screen, and they are still talking about it. And now, here he is, walking away. What is he going to do? And he is running, and he's giving a penalty. He's giving a penalty to France. With the aid of the video assistant referee, a penalty has been given to France for handball.
You might be able to tell that I'm not totally across football. I did watch some of the World Cup, but I have to admit, a bit of a match with my dad, but I didn't watch much of it, if I'm totally honest. Here is Rio Ferdinand, Alan Shearer and Jurgen Klinsmann and their verdict on that VAR decision.
I think it was a wrong decision. But what it does bring to the table is some entertainment.
It wasn't brought in for entertainment, though. It was brought in for clear and obvious howlers like Maradona's handball and like the handball for Thierry Henry or something like that.
And by and large in the tournament, it's done that.
I think in 9 out of 10 occasions throughout the World Cup, it's done well. In this occasion, not.
This is the first time the World Cup has used that type of technology, and as you're aware, even before the World Cup, it is controversial. Some people think it's great, and many think it's terrible, and in fact is ruining the game. But did the system bring or help to ensure a fairer World Cup? Did that actually work? Let's get the verdict on VAR with sports journalist Stephen Beacom and Keith Bailey. Good morning to you both.
Hi, Benny.
I have no idea half, even that phrase, the drama and giant killings, I had to ask what that actually meant. It means when big teams go out and people are surprised. What do you think, Stephen? Was the VAR inclusion in the World Cup a positive thing in the end?
Benny, when VAR first came in principle, I was totally behind the idea of it. I was a little wary, I'll admit that as well, but I was behind it because it was supposed to help referees reach the right decision in contentious moments of the game.
Right.
But referees in this situation then they must help themselves. And in the final yesterday in Moscow, the referee from Argentina, Nestor Pitana, he made a right mess of things in my opinion. Whenever you're given a penalty, and this is the World Cup final here, so this is the biggest match of all time. You know, these guys won't play a bigger match in their lives again. And whenever you're given a penalty, you have to be totally right, totally certain about it. And I'm not sure he was certain.
How do you know that?
Well, he kept going back to look at the screen. He hadn't given the penalty. And then all of a sudden, the VAR comes up in his earpiece and they tell him, take a look. But it was the referee who ultimately made the call. And for me, it was the wrong call. And this is, as I said before, the
biggest... You think it didn't look deliberate and therefore shouldn't have been a penalty?
It was a shocking call. It was a shocking call.
Keith?
Yeah, of course it was a mistake. It was a poor decision by the referee. I found the whole spectacle, and I have throughout this World Cup of VAR to be slightly comedic almost. You've got this situation where the referee gets a word in his earpiece, and in other sports, you know, when the video referee interrupts play to tell the referee there's maybe been a mistake in the field, the referee takes the video assistant's word for it and gives... In football, we've got this very unusual spectacle of the referee, the match referee, waddling over to the side of the pitch and watching the footage and what looks like a bank machine, and then coming up with the decision. And even after all that, even after talking to the video referee and seeing the footage himself, he still got it wrong. Which I guess it shows that football and big decisions in football matches will always be a matter of opinion, and you can't really remove that from football.
They've had video ref in rugby for years now, Stephen, so there doesn't seem to be as much complaints and questioning over it in that sport. So what makes football different?
I think in rugby it's more a matter of fact, and in tennis, even if you watch the Wimbledon final, you know, and someone hits a shot that's possibly long, then if it hits the line, it's in. If it's over the line, it's out. In football, there is that subjective nature to it. And yesterday, I saw that people like Graham Pohl, an ex-World Cup final referee, he thought that the referee made the right call. But most people like Alan Shearer, Roy Keane, Rio Ferdinand thought it was the wrong call. And I would go with the professionals in this instance. I thought it was a poor decision. And it's something that football has to look at and get right going forward, because you can't have mistakes like this in a World Cup final. You can't have mistakes like this in any match, because it costs players winners' medals, it costs countries the glory of being a World Cup winner, and it costs players possible big moves in the future. Well, so there's so much to look at here. And it is something that FIFA have to look at and get right going forward.
Well, going back to the final yesterday, there are people questioning a free kick that was awarded as well. So if you add both them together, your final result could have been 2-2 as opposed to 4-2. So it could have had a huge impact on the outcome of, well, could have, because we don't know, of this particular match, Keith.
Well, listen, funny, you know, Stephen says going forward FIFA have got to get it right. Well, did yesterday's final in a way not prove that no matter, even if you do have video assistant referees, there's still going to be mistakes in it, because ultimately it has to come down to a human decision on some level, and while you've always got that, you'll always have the opportunity for there to be mistakes. You can't possibly completely remove the referee's decision from
it. That's a fair point, Stephen, because VAR is being criticised here, but obviously that has to be interpreted by the referee, so it does not come down to that referee on that day in that match.
Yes, and the referee blew it big style. Nestor Pitana will always be remembered as the man who made a right mess up of the 2018 World Cup final. So I guess referees simply have to improve, and hopefully that's going to be the case.
Joe in South Belfast. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, Benny. I'll just put my radio down here, sorry.
Please do, yes. You'll get in trouble with Leah, our sound engineer.
No, I was just saying that it definitely wasn't a penalty. I mean, I think if you took a poll of people, I think 90% would say it wasn't a penalty, because it was ball to hand. It wasn't hand to ball. You knew nothing about it because of the pace of the corner. And
so with that in mind, Joe, do you think the VAR should be scrapped, or do you think it has potential to make the game better if used right?
No, I think the second point you made there, I think it has the chance to make the game better. But the key to it is, in a penalty, you have to be 100% sure it was deliberate. And the fact that he took so long to look at it, and then he walked away and then walked back again. You know, he should have then turned and just whistled for a goal kick or whatever, or a free kick out or whatever, or another corner. Because if you're not 100%, especially in a game of such importance, Vinny, that Croatia were on top at that time, and I think they actually would have went on and won the game, to be perfectly honest with you. So, you know, you have to be 100% sure, and every pundit on both sides, on ITV and BBC, every single one of them said it wasn't a penalty.
The World Cup in general, Joe, have you enjoyed it this year?
Absolutely fantastic. And take my hat off to Russia, you know, with all the bad sort of, well, deliberate bad press and, you know, from the media and the UK government and all that prior to all this. They've basically said, you know, up yours basically to them. They've said, there you go. This
sure
is what
they put
we
it in
do.
A slightly more polite manner, Stephen.
Well, maybe so. Maybe in private they would say up you, you know.
Stop saying it. Get me in trouble. You think this is, I'm telling you. Stephen, do you agree with Joe? And not in relation to that, but that this has been a fantastic World Cup. I can't usually judge
brilliant.
It. I usually judge it by the number of people I know are not interested in football that are talking about it and that are watching. It's bringing them in as well.
Vinny, I wish you'd have watched more of the matches, because it was a phenomenal World Cup. I've been lucky enough to cover World Cups and be at the finals and everything, and I didn't enjoy those tournaments as much as I've enjoyed this one. You had drama, you had the excitement, you had unpredictability, you had great goals, you had Ronaldo, Coutinho, Messi scoring sensational goals. You had England's run to the semi-finals, which provided great interest and emotion. And then in the final, you had a teenager, Kylian Mbappe, scoring the first time a teenager has scored in a final since Pelé in 1958. Keith's a lot older than me, so he goes back a long, long way. But I'm certain that even in his time, that this has been the best World Cup that he's enjoyed.
Yeah, one thing I did from a small amount that I did watch that I was thinking was the pressure that's on those players. For example, that England match that came to penalties, and you felt nervous just watching them. And for people, I suppose, of any age, but they're quite young age, that's a lot to put on anyone's shoulders.
Oh, well, penalty shootouts or something else. My wife's a bit like you, Vinny. She's not really into football, but whenever a penalty shootout comes on the television, she can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's got the tension, it's got the drama, it's got everything in there.
Oh, totally. And you've got the joy and the pain. You know, there's someone who's going to be a winner, there's someone who's going to be a loser, and they're going to be remembered for missing that penalty. Gareth Southgate, the England manager, he's remembered for missing a crucial penalty whenever England could have made the Euro finals back in the Euro 1996 campaign. And here he was the first English manager ever to lead his side to a penalty shootout success in the World Cup. And I think we can't ignore the England factor here, because it has brought a lot of non-football lovers to the table.
Okay.
And it's been brilliant from that point of view, because with England, and certainly with Northern Ireland, there is that love-hate scenario. You know, most people love to hate them, but I think a lot of people in this World Cup have taken to England, and that has got to do with Gareth Southgate and his waistcoat and how he has reacted.
Oh, waistcoat gate. Michael in Derry, you don't agree with Keith. You think it was a penalty?
All day, Vinny. Never mind the replay and slow motion and all that. If you look at the replay, just as the ball's coming in, you can see the fella move his hand. He moved his hand and hit the ball.
On purpose, you're saying?
Yes, without a doubt. Now, we sat at home here, and there was murderous arguments over it, Vinny, until... And then my daughter's partner said, I think maybe you're right. If you look at the way, he definitely palmed the ball down with his hand.
There you go, Keith. Michael disagrees with you.
I'm not having it, no. Listen, I appreciate he moved his hand, but you can see that. But at the end of the day, he's jumping to try and win a header. It's only natural that your arms are going to move. You have to ask a question. Did he deliberately move his hand towards the ball? No, I don't think.
Okay, Kieran, do you agree with Michael or with Keith? Kieran.
It doesn't matter if it was a penalty or not a penalty. There was no way France were going to lose the World Cup. They've been beaten once in the last 2 years, and they were beaten back in March by Colombia 3-1, and that was the only time prior to that was the final of the 2016 Euros. It doesn't matter whether it was or wasn't. They were never going to lose it.
You don't know, though, how something like that midway through a match can change, you know, the mood, the mood within the team, the players.
They never came out of second gear, funny, through the whole contest. They never came out of it, and if they were pushed it, there was no way they were going to get beat.
You see, Stephen,
I think Croatia could have beaten them if it had stayed 1-1 at half-time. I really do. Croatia were playing really good football. They were making more chances, and although France had great individuals, Vinny, Croatia looked more of a team. So if it had gone in 1-1 at half-time, I fancy Croatia would have gone on and won it.
All France's games up until then, the first half, they haven't been really the team out in front. It's only the second half that they've really come into life. So that's the way it's been going.
Okay, well, we're pretty much done for the day. Last word on this to you, Keith Bailey. Do you think this will have converted many more football fans onto the World Cup that maybe weren't as keen, like myself, more of a rugby fan?
I think the World Cup's fantastic for bringing people into football that wouldn't normally be football fans.
Are they real football fans, or are they like Stephen Nolan, who pretend they're a football fan, but really they couldn't name you more than one player of their own team?
There's plenty of football fans like Stephen Nolan. Yeah. That's no bad thing. The World Cup's for everybody to enjoy, and it's for people who maybe aren't necessarily hardcore football fans. I think that's the beauty of the World Cup. One thing I would be wary of, and picking up on something Joe said, Russia, fantastic host to this World Cup, but let's be aware that we saw a certain face of Russia. They put their best face forward. It's kind of like if you have a house party, you make sure your house is nice and shiny for your friends coming around.
It depends on whose house you go to, Keith. But Stephen, there's a producer in my ear that's suggesting that the World Cup, when it comes to football, is quite different from rugby. He says no one watches the Rugby World Cup because it's so boring. But I completely disagree. Why do you think it's important to get behind the rugby as well?
Listen, the Rugby World Cup is not on the same level as the Football World Cup in terms of global audience. You know, only a small portion of the world
Why is that?
Play rugby.
it's just rugby. It's just a sport which hasn't got the same support as football. I mean, I think that's just a matter of fact. Rugby's a great sport in its own traditions, and plenty of people in this part of the world love it, but it doesn't bring in South America, it doesn't bring in North America, limited appeal in Asia. Football World Cup is the truly, genuinely global event alongside the Olympics.
Keith Bailey, thank you very much. Stephen Beacom, just briefly on Stephen Nolan again, he's talking about changing his team. He changes his team like his underwear. Do you think, is that a sign of a bad football fan?
You can't change your team, Vinny. And on the Rugby World Cup, by the way, everyone will be watching it next year because Ireland could win it.
Well, there you go. Stephen Beacom, thank you very much.